It's that time again.
Watch out.
Here it comes.
Watch out.
Here it comes.
Watch out.
Here it comes. Welcome to the Cotslide Podcast. I'm your host, Hank McCoy, and with me, the people's champ, Vin Rock. Vince, welcome back to the show.
That time I thought you were going to explode, seriously. I thought your head was just going to pop like a pimple.
The Courtside Podcast, brought to you by Old Man Media. I'm pretty excited for this show, Vince.
Yeah, I know. I noticed your comment on Facebook said you were coming for me. So
I'm
Hank is excited.
Of course, it's our top 10 point guard show. This is not going to end well, is it?
Well, I just want to put out there, I told you last week, no injured players on my list.
Well, I've added injured players, so already our lists are totally out of whack.
Well, if people don't like it, Stiff, it's my list, not yours. So, get over it. Well, I can't have injured players on there. It's just crazy.
I think you can.
My list from now on, so it's just a rule, no injured players. No long-term injuries.
Is that your new rule you're bringing in?
For my list, anyway.
Okay.
You know, a couple of guys might have been bumped up because of that, which I could not control, unfortunately.
So, I suppose the point of this is to have a look at, you know, the top point guards, the top players at each position as we count down. And, I mean, we kind of rank this on, you know, performances of last season and a little bit of projection into the next season, I suppose. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I've got maybe one or two picks that possibly potential.
So let's jump to it. Number 10.
Always get nervous starting off on these lists. number 10, I've gone for Portland's own Damian Lillard.
What?
Yeah. It's own starter anyway. I'm telling you. What's wrong with that? You don't like that?
It's way too early for Damian to make number 10.
No, listen, mate. I had Drew Holiday a couple of years ago.
Yep.
He poo-pooed that, and look at him there, all-star. So
okay, but he...
Get on a bus. It's going to a town.
Look, Lillard is way too early.
No, it's not. It's not. That's my argument.
It really is.
Well, 19 points a game,
mm-hmm.
6.5 assists. That's pretty good, mate. And I like the way he plays. He's exciting, fearless. Did I say he's explosive? He's all of the above.
He does play like a vet. I'll give you that. I mean, for a rookie, he plays like a guy who's been in the league for 4 years.
Then why you gotta bag my pick?
Look, I just want to see a little bit more body of work from him. And I've got 10 guys here I think are above him. I did have him on my original list. I will say that. I had him rounding at my 10, much like you did, but I had to bump him down.
Well, then shut up if you had him in your list. God.
You didn't make the final cut though, Vince.
Hey, well... Your list is going to be shizen. I'll tell you one thing about Lillard. He reminds me of mini Westbrook at times, even though they're probably just he's an inch shorter. But, I like him. I think, you know, Portland's got a 10, 12-year point guard, and it looks like he wants to stay there for good. He keeps saying the right things. But, you know, as they add more talent, I think those 6.5 assists will go up.
I will say this on your pick for Damian Lillard. Watching Lillard last season, he always looked under control.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it, man. He played like a vet.
Yeah. Well, for my pick at 10, I've gone with John Wall. 18 points a game, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, all in 32 minutes. Look, I know Wall sat out most of the year with injury. It was what he'd done when he come back from injury that impressed me the most.
But it was for 5 minutes, half the season.
Look, from what he gave me last year, And I like point guards a little bit bigger. I love everything Wall's about. He looked like he'd slowed up his game a little bit. He wasn't 100 miles an hour, but a healthy Wall, that team made the playoffs last season.
I am a fan of John Wall. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sneak him in. If he played a full season, I would have snuck him in. So I'm telling you right now, he's not in my list. But it was just, I needed to see him the whole season.
I mean, the fact that, you know, they were out of the playoff contention anyway when he came back. I mean, basically, they had to win all their games and have some teams rounding out that 7th or 8th seed to miss a few to even make it. You know, it was asking a lot. But I like the fact he didn't concede the season. I like the fact that he, you know, used the last, let's say, 20 games or whatever he had left of the year to go, you know what, we're right there. A healthy year, we're right there.
Absolutely. And, you know, finally he's got some talent to pass the ball to.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he's starting to work on that jump shot too. But I like what you said, you know, the control he showed. But I agree. I actually picked him to finish 8th this past season, but, you know, injuries cost him, like you said.
Yeah.
Look, this time next season, we could be saying he's top 5.
Yep. I mean, the talent's there, right? So.
Oh, can't question his talent.
Let's move now to number 9.
One of my all-time favourite point guards. I love this bloke. Jrue Holiday, 17.7, 8 assists. Led the Sixers in what was a disappointing season, to say the least. He's only 23 years old, but I just think the ceiling is so high for this kid. Like I said, I've loved him since he entered the league. Like I said, I picked him at 10 a couple of years ago. I would have loved to have seen him team up with Andrew Bynum.
A lot of hopes, you know, for that franchise moving forward were banked on, you know, the injured center.
Oh, absolutely. I think if he could have played 60 games, they would have made playoffs. But what the Pelicans now have is a teeny point guard that is growing to be one of the top point guards just going around. Man. He's developing. And one thing I like about him, he's got a bit of swag. He's got a bit of he's not afraid to take a big shot.
Here's my question to you, Vince. Is that Pelicans team better than the Philly team he played on last year?
Look, there's a lot of talent on paper. It's impossible to answer that right now until, you know, we see him with a few games.
Mm.
I mean, so, there's a ton of talent on that team.
Yeah, look, I like the numbers. I get the whole idea behind the trade. I don't know. I'm just not convinced with Jrue as you are.
No, he's going to pop this year now, I'm telling you.
Okay, well, I think he's on a better squad than what he was last year. I think that team is a lot better. So if they don't make the playoffs this year, I don't know.
They're making the playoffs. With all that talent around him, Jrue probably won't average 17 a game.
Mm.
Or he might just say Stuffy's on still the main focal point. But, you know, look, as good as Vasquez was, and I'm a big fan of Vasquez, I think Drew's going to just get him playing at another level. You know, and it changes as good as a holiday. I'm high on Jrue. I love Jrue.
My number 9, I'm going with Ty Lawson of the Denver Nuggets.
Wow.
Now, I know because I've done the same thing, you know. I think his off-season's hurt him a little bit with, you know, his domestic violence little charge that's...
Allegedly.
Unraveling at the moment.
Allegedly.
But in all the Stephen Curry madness last season, did we forget the season Ty Lawson had? It was his season, you know, overshadowed a little bit by... you know, the star that became Stephen Curry. I mean, that Denver team, they were a 50-win team last year without, you know, one of their major scorers in Gallo. And let's not forget that series against Golden State. As much as Denver didn't have an answer for Stephen Curry, the same could be said for Ty Lawson and the Warriors.
Well, I agree. Nobody can stay in front of Ty Lawson.
My only thing with Ty Lawson is, and I don't know if it's a mental thing. I mean, I kind of like my guards a little bit bigger than Ty. I just feel like the shorter guys at that position, they don't tend to have the... I might get in trouble here. The longer lifespan.
Yep.
You know, in holding that starting position. I just think the wear and tear eventually catches up on him a little bit. Just a little bit of inconsistency with Ty. But I thought last year he really sort of, you know, shook the shackles off. George Karl, I mean, is not an easy coach to impress. And he handed the reins over to him last year.
Yeah, look, I'm a bit in the same boat with you. I like my point guards a little bigger, and I like them to, I like them just to pass, have that pass-first mentality. You know what I'm like?
21 points a game, 3 boards, 8 assists, 1 steal in 39 minutes. I mean, it's not as if he had a down year.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I think he had a fantastic year. I like the kid, but, you know, I'm not a huge fan. I mean, when I say I'm not a huge fan, I don't get...
Well, I just think, you know, he played in Denver. I mean, I kind of do feel like even though they had the year they had, I mean, you know, they had the coach of the year, they had a great season, you know, they were projected to go, you know, a lot further. But
they're a jump shooting team.
Yeah, I get it. But you could say that about a lot of teams. I think you could say that same about Golden State as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, just sidetracking a bit, I'd love to see Golden State actually throw the ball down low to the big fella every now and then, you know?
But that's my thing. I thought the end of their season really put a dampener on how we looked at, you know, those guys in Denver. I mean, we look at it totally different because of the changes that were made, you know, after that. Obviously, they threw away the GM of the year. They threw away the coach of the year. And, you know, in Iggy Bounce, you know, I mean, they're basically back to almost start.
See, and that's another thing. Like, he's got a guy like Iggy running with him. Mm. How does Iggy only average 12 a game, 13 a game? That, to me, he's got to be getting Iggy involved.
We move now to number 8.
Another one of my personal favourites. I'm going for Mike Conley.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've got him at 14, around 14 points a game, 6 assists. I really like Conley's game. He's a guy who's getting better every year and sometimes he seems like a bit of a confidence player at times. When his confidence is high, he has no qualms about taking the big shot. I like the fact that his numbers go up in the playoffs. And I think he might actually have a bigger role next season on the offensive end. I think it's probably going to go through Gasol and Conley, then Randolph as a third option. I think Randolph, as I've said, he's
on a slow decline,
but a decline nonetheless. But, Conley is just, I think in a couple of years, Conley is another point guard who's just going to pop.
I'm glad he's in your top 10. I don't agree with the ranking, but I can understand it.
But he's my style. He's my style of point guard. Steady.
I've got a few things to say. I love the fact that Conley has gotten better every single year he's been in the league and continues.
Yep.
I absolutely love that about the guy. But I've got some other points. I'll touch on that a bit later.
You touch all you want.
Boy. My pick at number 8. This might surprise a few people, or maybe not surprise a few people. And I've gone with Deron Williams from the Brooklyn Nets. Look, 20 points a game, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal, all in 41 minutes. I don't know. I just wonder if D. Will is paying the body tax. You know, if we're starting to see a little bit of a decline in D. Will. Because I was really surprised there was no takeover from Williams in the playoff series against Chicago. I mean, I know he had a few good games. Obviously, he had the 50 game on the Bobcats, but that, let's face it, that was the Bobcats.
That is true.
There's just been some games this year, and I don't know if it's a case of him just trying to make everyone gel a bit more. I realise we're not going to see the same D. Will that we saw in Utah because the pieces are a lot different. They're running a totally different system. I still feel like he's an elite point guard, and maybe he's seeing his window to win a title closing on him. You know, he's seeing it a lot earlier maybe than, say, some other young point guards in the league. And he's gone, all right, I need to sacrifice numbers for the good of the team to get my shot. I don't know. I, especially in that Chicago series, I was really disappointed. I thought, well, I know Nate caught fire, pulling out some unbelievable shots, but, I mean, this is Deron Williams, man. Like,
yeah, but a defensive-minded team, like Chicago, who else were they going to zero in on? It was either Lopez or Williams.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're going to zero in on Williams.
I don't know. Joe Johnson
was his usual self.
Come on. Deron Williams is a big guard. He's got a big body. I mean, he should have been backing Nate down every time down the court.
Yeah, that's fine. You can back him down every time down the court. But if Tibbs is throwing doubles at him, he's kicking it out to Wallace and
He's probably making the right decision. He probably was doing it and kicking out. I mean, you know, he did average eight assists, you know, on the season. But, I mean, I don't know. I just don't feel like we're getting that, especially the last two seasons now. I don't feel like we're getting that dominant point guard that we've all, you know, grown to expect from him. I just feel like he's fallen out of my top 5 now.
I can understand why, you know, yourself and some people might have him out of top 5.
Think of it like this. What did he really do last season?
He had a hell of a second half.
Yeah, I'm struggling on it.
But John Wall did the same thing, and you're singing his praises.
But John Wall took over, and I don't feel like D. Will did. And with the pieces around him and the mismatch he had in that Chicago series, I know I keep coming back to the Chicago series, but it's true. It was almost like he has grown, like he's happy to, you know, play second fiddle, play third fiddle if need be.
I don't think he was playing third fiddle or second fiddle. I really don't.
He was on the fiddle, Vince. Fiddle violin music right now. Playing the fiddle.
I think he'd be happy to play second fiddle to Pierce at times this season. But, you know, you hear Jason Kidd talk, and he wants to help D-Will get back to the D-Will that was in Utah. You know, the 11 assists a game, 12 assists a game. He can do it. There's enough talent there. And I think he'd be a bit harsh on that.
I think with D-Will, and the reason why he's, you know, climbed down on my ladder, it's just because he is at that stage in his career where he's willing to play facilitator. You know, he doesn't need to be the main scorer just because of the pieces around him. And, you know, he realizes he needs to do this to get the team where it needs to be. And I know they finished where they did, but they still made great strides.
Okay, you're a Nets fan. What would make you happy from a number standpoint with D-Will?
I don't think that's the problem, though. I just don't think last season... I don't think he grabbed the reins when he needed to grab the reins.
All right. So, well, what are you with this star-studded team?
Mm-hmm.
What are you wanting from him, style-wise, and all that?
Well,
sort of stuff?
I want him to be a facilitator. I want him to do what he's doing. But when it comes, look, Pierce is older, Garnett's older, Joe Johnson's Joe Johnson, Lopez is limited. When a playoff series is on the line, you know, that's when he's got to be that superstar and go, all right, I'm going to take us there. And I don't feel like he did that.
Did you just say Lopez is limited?
He is limited.
In what?
Defense. Rebounding.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Kid can score, though.
Kid can score. No, I'm not doubting that. Look, he probably...
That's going to help you.
But that's what I want out of him, because you're not going to get that out of those other guys. They had even less pieces last season, and he still didn't do it. So they've added new pieces, they've added new veterans for this upcoming year. You know, he probably doesn't need to do that as much, because they're not going to be in those same situations, but I just want to see that when the time comes. Number seven!
Yeah, my number seven.
Uh-oh.
Absolutely. I think he's my favourite point guard in the NBA.
Uh-oh.
And that man is Ricky Rubio.
What?
Oh, come on. Now, listen, I said at the start. Shut up for a moment. I said at the start, I might have a potential pick. Now, if he didn't have that knee, Rico.
Vince.
Shut up for a... Let me tell you what this pick gives you. Gives you leadership. He's clearly the leader of the Timberwolves. And I love... fact that he comes down and he just knows where everyone is on the court. You could blindfold this kid, he'll find you.
What were his numbers for last year?
They were 10 points, 7 assists, 2 steals.
How many rebounds?
229.
How many on an average?
Stuffed if I know, because I don't know how many games he played.
And how many minutes did he play a game?
A little bit, 30.
Man, you are way high. Look, I get the whole projection pick, but...
No, shut up for a moment, please. Let me explain. After this season, you're going to go, you know what? You're right, Nevin Rubio at 7.
Madness.
The Timberwolves have a beauty here, mate. What are you not seeing?
Madness. That is absolutely madness. Number 7? Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. Is he not in your top 10? You are.
He is definitely not in my top 10.
Oh, you are. That's ludicrous.
Definitely. Definitely.
And this is Ricky Rubio. He's a star.
I've got 12 guys better than Rubio.
Oh, please.
Whew, that is please. That is the biggest overshoot ever.
It's a potential pick.
Okay, well, I get that. I get that side of things. And you know what? With the turnaround Minnesota should be capable of next season, I could totally understand that pick next year.
Comes back from a knee, Rico, gives you 10 and 7. And it's not about the numbers with Rubio, because...
I totally agree with you with the leadership and the vision. You know, I want to see a little bit more out of him. You are just a lot higher on him than me.
This kid is going to... He's going to kill it, man. Oh, by the time when his career is all said and done, hopefully he's a one-team player, can get the Wolves a chip. Mate, you are going to be all over this kid.
Mate, I'm telling you right now, the Timberwolves aren't winning a chip with Ricky Rubio and Kevin Love. One of them has to go. Because they're at two different ends of the spectrum as far as where they're at, and they just won't meet up to click.
Can I just say, even now, I think they're slightly just leaning towards Rubio, the Wolves management.
Well, if they want to win now, that's the wrong decision.
Mate, Love will be the ladies in a couple of years, so don't worry about that.
Well, my pick...
It's not as good as Rubes.
But number seven is a guy I'm sure you've got a lot higher.
Brandon Jennings?
No, it's Kyrie Irving.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
So let me explain. 22 points a game, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, all in 34 minutes. As far as the talent goes, in my opinion, I can see this kid being a future MVP.
I agree.
Phew, I thought you were going to argue with me on that one. But it means nothing right now if Irving can't stay healthy. And let's face it, he hasn't, you know, even in college, well, since college, you know, wasn't healthy, struggled to stay healthy every season. You know, and Cleveland still hasn't tasted the playoffs since LeBron left. I am predicting big things for him. I do hope he can stay healthy, but I just couldn't put him any higher than number seven on my list right now because he just hasn't gotten it done. I mean, that team should have made it last year, but I mean, I can't pin everything on him. You know, obviously with the other injuries they had with Sideshow Bob going down as well, you know, didn't help the cause. But I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, a few seasons ago, two seasons ago, actually, you know, I questioned the whole Stephen Curry. You know, is this kid ever going to be healthy enough for us to see him hit his potential? And last year, thank God, he shut me up. I mean, what a season he had. I'm hoping we see the same from Kyrie Irving. That's why I can't put him past number seven right now, is because from the Duke season, I mean, he just has not been able to stay healthy. And you know what? He's the point guard, he's got the ball in his hands. He needs to be healthy.
I think you're super harsh on Australia's own Kyrie Irving. I think it's safe to say some of the injuries, you can put it down to workload.
Only 34 minutes a game last year.
Yeah, that's fine, but he takes a lot of, you know, he goes to the cup. He takes a lot of hits. He's, you know, they're physical with him. But now he's got Jarrett Jack backing him up. You know, Jarrett Jack will take a lot of minutes, a lot of the ball handling. I think Irving might even play the two at stages.
Look, I'm not saying the talent's there, and I'll definitely...
No, I realise that, yeah.
You know, we've seen the flashes. You know, I've seen the game winners, you know. The one against Portland, the one against Boston. I mean, look, the kid has it all. Like, I'm not doubting this kid's talent. I've stated this kid is going to be a future MVP. But right now, Irving needs to have an injury-free season. I mean, look, one or two games, yeah, you can excuse, but I mean, it really hurt him. It really hurt him last season.
Yeah, look, I hear what you're saying and everything, and he has missed a lot of games, but there's been guys winning championships that haven't played 82 games,
Been a franchise player, though, Vince, to do that?
Yeah, Shaq.
But Shaq...
But even in his Laker days, mate. Yeah, but this is what I'm getting to.
Shaq made the NBA Finals in Orlando. They made the playoffs. I mean...
Yeah, well, hang on a minute. What's his only bloody, third year? Take it easy.
That's what I'm saying. He needs an injury-free season. This is his...
Yeah, and I'm telling you, he's got more talent on the team now. They've had a pretty good off-season signing talent. The problem last season was he's missing games. There's no one there to step up. At least this year, if he misses a game or two, he's got Jarrett Jack filling in. He's got Bennett there now. He's got Deion Waiters in his second year. There is how he's back. He's got Bynum. He's got Earl Clark.
Yeah, look,
he's got Thompson. They're all there to back him up now.
Look, like I said, I can understand missing a game here and there, but he missed a whole heap. He has missed a whole heap since his college year.
Yeah,
I mean, it's clear he's having trouble staying healthy, right?
I agree with you, but I don't think it's all doom and gloom like you had Steph Curry.
I'm not saying it's not.
You had him retired last year, Steph Curry.
No, I said he needs. I said exactly what I'm saying right now is that he needs to have it.
Come on, man! You, seriously, you get guy in your crosshair and you just go with it.
You think I have a vendetta against every player in the league?
First it was Steph's ankle. Oh, I don't know, no, it's glass. And now it's Curry. it's Irving going, oh, you can't stay healthy.
Well, look, I hope he proves me wrong, much like Steph Curry did last year. Happy to be proven wrong.
Yeah, but look, in all seriousness, he has got better talent this year to cover him when he's not there.
Totally agree.
Which hopefully keeps some wins ticking over and they can get into the playoffs. I was just stirring you up then, buddy. Then.
Yeah, thanks.
Don't get upset.
Number six.
I've gone for your boy, Deron Williams.
D-Will. It's obviously you're a little bit higher on D-Will than me, Vince. Explain yourself.
I'm as high as a kite right now on Deron Williams. Deron Williams struggled with some injury last season, first half. After the All-Star break, kicked into gear, and that's the Deron Williams I'm expecting to see playing with KG, Paul Pierce, and Lopez.
I mean, look, his numbers were good, don't get me wrong. But do you think maybe he is just getting a little bit older? You know, maybe the body is taking a bit more of a toll now, or do you think...
He's only 28, isn't he?
You think I'm overthinking it?
You overthink? No way. he's only 28, isn't he?
Is he?
28, 29? Oh, he's not in his 30s yet.
Hmm.
I hope he's not breaking down at 29 or 28.
Still, I mean, most players that age now these days have played a lot of ball.
Well, that is true. And you remember to the lockout season he did play in Turkey.
Yeah.
See what I did there? And
inside joke.
I expect... expect his scoring may dip a little, but I do expect his assist to go up. But
if his scoring doesn't dip, I would say there's something... going wrong.
Yeah, because, you know, as I said, J.K. does want him up in the double figures for assists. But, look, I'm expecting a rejuvenated Deron Williams.
My pick for number six is Mike Conley Jr. 17 points per game.
Hang on. Didn't you hang shit? Didn't you question my pick?
With Mike Conley?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just said I thought it was a little bit low.
Okay.
Compared to my list, that's all.
Okay.
Get your knickers in a knot, Germano.
I know he's angry when he calls me Jamal.
Look, 17 points per game, 4 rebounds, 7 assists and a steal all in 38 minutes. I suppose my biggest question, you know, when compiling my list for the show was my rankings of Conley did change a little bit, but will we ever really appreciate Mike Conley Jr.? I mean, as I said before, you know, when you talked about him, Vince, I love the fact this kid has gotten better every single year. You know, they threw that big contract at him. Memphis clearly knew what they had in Conley. They clearly knew he was the right point guard for their system, for what they needed to run. His work ethic speaks for itself. You know, he lived up to expectations of his contract as well. It's not as if, you know, he got his contract and then you didn't hear from Mike Conley. One thing that was pointed out to me about Mike Conley that I didn't really look at, didn't really think of by a good friend of mine, was that Marc Gasol averaged 3 assists last year, nearly 4 assists a game.
Great numbers.
Yeah. That says a lot about your point guard if he's willing to, you know, give up the ball and have the ball. I mean, obviously they're running that set through him off the post. And I don't know how many other point guards, probably on my list even, you know, in my top 10, would be happy with the ball out of their hands. I mean, 17 points per game, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, and a steal. I mean, you know, he's doing that on possessions without the ball as well.
I'll tell you who. Ricky Rubio.
Rubio. Don't even start me. We've talked about Rubio. All right, let's leave it.
Rubio!
But, I just don't think, you know, with the current crop of point guards coming through, I just feel like Conley's, I suppose when you look at him, a little bit more of a truer point guard, whereas a little bit more balanced. I mean, he doesn't really do anything spectacular that I couldn't think of. You know, I think he has elite ball handling, but, I mean, he just does everything really, really well. I mean, improved on the outside shot last year. But, yeah, I just sort of think, you know, with, you know, big scoring point guards coming through, you know, like last few years we've sort of seen that dynamic scorers, like, you know, and athletes come through like Russell Westbrook and Derrick Rose, you know, guys who can really fill up the scoring sheet. You know, I just sort of think sometimes I think Conley gets a little bit overlooked.
I agree, and you know, that Grizz copped a lot of flack in his, I think, first couple of years.
Oh, did they ever?
Wow, and he's just proven everyone wrong. And you're right, he doesn't do, he's not spectacular, but he does a lot of things well. And I just, like I said before, I just think in a couple of years you're going to see just a great point guard. This kid doesn't stop working. He's improved every year. I just really like him. I'm a huge fan of Mike Conley.
We move now to the halfway mark. Number five.
I've gone for Detroit's own now. Andrew Jennings. Got Jennings much higher. Number five, I've got, and if Pumper doesn't mind, I'll call him Spicy Curry, Steph Curry, 22 points, 6.5 assists. Finally saw a healthy Curry this past season.
Because you don't want to see a bad Curry.
You don't want to see a bad Curry. That's...
Especially not on the other end. Boy!
Oh, God, that boom tish. leave the jokes to me. We saw a 50-point outing against the Knicks, if I'm not mistaken.
That was... I can't believe we lost that game, seriously.
Yeah, that was a shocker. Had some great playoffs games, leading the Warriors to the second round, of course. This kid just does not miss either. The numbers escape me a bit. I think you mentioned him a lot in the past podcast.
Just dead eye. Basically, if he's open, it's in.
It's going in, yeah. Just forget about it. Just start running the other end, because it's going in. Sky's the limit for this kid. Ceiling is huge. He gives you everything. Just go. Do yourself a favour. Watch his games this season. You'll fall in love with this kid.
I'm glad, Vince. I'm glad at least we even got a season of an injury-free Curry for the most part. You know, so we could truly see, you know, what this kid could do. Because for the longest time, it was like, man, he's out again with his ankle. He's out again with the ankle. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I know I harped that on the show, but, you know, it was on everyone's lips. And you couldn't really rate him as a guard because, well, you only get like a quarter of a season, a half a season. So yeah. It was great to finally see, hey, you know what, that Deadeye shot. But, I mean, I think the thing that surprised me the most, especially through the playoffs, was just the creativity on the kid.
Yeah, I didn't think he had that in him.
I mean, the ability to make his own shot, I mean, you know, his little flip shot layups, I mean, just amazing.
Kid's a star, man. Kid's a star. You know, growing up, you never saw, even though the Warriors had some good teams when we were growing up, you never thought they could have a chance to win a championship. But if they keep all this group together, just keep growing, you know, with this kid leading the way, man, they could pinch a championship in the coming years.
Yeah, I mean, look, they weren't that far away from beating that Spurs team.
No.
And I, for one, I didn't see that coming. So,
Oh, I did, because I picked Mark Jackson to be the top job. Did you admit you were wrong on that, by the way?
My pick at number five.
Yeah.
You're not going to like. You are not going to like, Vince. But hey, let's bear in mind you didn't even have him on your list at all. So.
Well, if he's injured, forget it.
In saying that, Rondo. I had Rajon Rondo.
Oh, that's just...
Look, he did play part of the season. 13 points per game, 5 rebounds, a whopping 11 assists. Fantastic. 1 steal, all in 37 minutes. Still no jump shot.
Yeah.
Which kind of bugs me.
No, he's got a jump shot.
He doesn't.
He does. It's just not
still no outside shot, which...
He's got an outside shot.
Kind of bugs me.
He's dropped 44 in the Heat with jump shots. Look, he's got a jump shot.
He had a great game.
I know it was 5 years ago, but he's got
a jump shot. He had a great game.
All right. Keep going.
The attitude's starting to bother me a little bit with Rondo. You know, you've seen him get tossed a few times this season early on. The one against Atlanta being the one that sticks out the most. I will say this about Rondo, and I think this is one thing with Rondo that separates him from a lot of other guards on my list, is he's all heart. You know, the kid is all heart. He mightn't be... I think it's also kind of fitting that he's in Boston. You know, one of the Boston's biggest superstars was so... not hated, but, you know, almost distant from the fans in Boston in Bill Russell, and I kind of feel like Rondo's personality is kind of a little bit the same. You know, I kind of feel like he does feel a little distant to the fans. Look, with Rondo, it's a show and prove year from him. You know, he's got the keys. You know, his older brothers in Pierce and Garnett have left the house. They've moved on. He's got the keys. The ball's in his court. I do feel like he's going to have a rough year ahead. I do want to see what the numbers show, because I remember more than a few shows ago, you know, you saying that his numbers are really going to jump, Vince. You know, if he ever had his own team. So I'm really interested to see, well, what sort of team they now become, and if he will work with the new head coach. Injured or not, I still think he's a top 10 talent. Even though some guys miss, you know, a season, I think sometimes the talent overrides that because of what they bring to the table when they're back. So Rondo for me slides in my number 5. He is down a little bit on my list, but yeah, just a few question marks for me.
When he's fully fit, healthy, in my mind, I'm picking Rondo as my starting PG every time. I just love the kid. Yeah, I do still think his numbers will just pop with all those, as you said, bigger brothers gone. I would prefer it if he wasn't coming off an ACL, because I think it will take him probably a month to get just to get that confidence back and to feel like the knee's really good. But I also don't think he's going to last the whole season in Boston. So
you think he's gone?
I think around trade deadline. I don't think he's going to. He's not going to handle the losing.
What do you think happens first? Boston trade Rondo, or Rondo demands a trade?
I think he's going to demand a trade, because he's gone through all the winning, and I know he's still, what, he's 26 or something. There's plenty of time to stick around for a rebuild, but he won a championship at a young age, starting behind you. You know, he's had a taste of all that success. I don't think he wants to go through a rebuild. Like, he's saying all the right stuff now. Like, you know, apparently he called Paul Pierce and said, you know, yeah, it's my team, I'm ready to lead. But you know as well as I do, once the losing starts, you can play in any league. When the losing starts, like you start losing 9-10 games in a row, you start fighting.
Yeah.
And he's a bit of an arse of a bloke. So that's going to happen. And that's when he's going to turn around to his agent and say, get me the hell out of here. Hello, Mitch Kupchak. So yeah, that's what I'm predicting.
We move now to number 4.
Spooky voice. I've gone for Australia's own Kyrie Irving.
He's not Aussie.
He was born here.
Is he playing for the Boomers?
He should be, but he's not.
He's not Aussie. Continue. Continue.
He's a Melbourneite. Just because he wasn't born in Sydney.
Continue.
That's what it is, isn't it? what a 23 a game, 5 assists. What's not to like here? Even though you poo-pooed his health. can score, pass. And the thing that I like about him, and I've said this before, it's the competitiveness. And he's got what I see in Kobe, that will, that mongrel.
That Achilles? Sorry.
Oh.
Too soon?
Oh, man. Whoa. Shot to the ribs. Oh, that hurts.
Sorry.
I agree totally with what you said before.
Future MVP?
Future MVP. They'll make the playoffs. I just want to touch on a rumour. Did you see the rumour this week going around?
I didn't. Unless it was hidden in a tissue box or anti-coal throat lozenger, I didn't see it. So please, enlighten me.
Forget the website, but they do have... I do get a lot of rumours, and some of them, they've been on the money. Anyway, apparently, I don't believe this one, but I'm just putting it out there. And apparently, Kyrie has already turned around to Cleveland management and said it is not a long-term stay here. The two teams he prefers are the Mavs and, of course, the Lakers.
Yeah, I don't
believe it myself, but if he wants to come, I'm happy to take him. Happy, I'm sure we could slot him in somewhere in LA.
He doesn't seem like the kind of guy to do that. I'm not going to pretend like I know Kyrie Irving, we're bros, and, you know, we've been down since whenever. But from all the interviews I've watched and just the general vibe I get from him, is that he's not a guy who's going to approach management like that.
I agree totally.
And if he is, then Cleveland should be firing someone within their head office who's leaking this shit out.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see it. He is in a great situation to win. He has everything laid out. I mean, look, if he bounces from Cleveland, say that did happen and he bounced. I mean, he'd drop a few spots on my rankings.
Just because he leaves?
Well, more for the fact the pieces that he's got around him. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs this year, no doubt, as long as Irving can stay. It all comes down to his health. I mean, They made the playoffs last year, even without Varejo, if he's healthy. Do you know what I mean? I don't understand that. He's in such a winning situation right there. I mean, look, I know a lot of their winning has been on the back of LeBron James, but that franchise knows how to win.
And he's got an owner. That's the thing I like. He's got an owner who, you know, wants to keep his superstars happy, wants to win a championship. Like, he's willing to overspend. He's willing to pay a luxury tax. He's, you know, which guy do you want? We'll try and get him. You know, he's that type of owner. So I hope he stays. I want to see these guys be one team players, you know. Like,
and you can't tell me Dan Gilbert isn't trying his best to get a title in the next 3 years.
Oh, absolutely he is. He wants one more than anything.
Of course he does.
You know, like,
he wants it more than LeBron wants his hairline back.
Zing.
We'll see what I did there? Look, my pick at number four. I went with a guy you touched on not long ago with the new golden child of the NBA, Stephen Curry. 23 points per game, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, which I was a little surprised at when I looked at. 1 steal, 41 minutes bothers me a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know what? With the season he had last year, I think you had to ride him.
Who's the backup PG there?
I don't even know. Who did they get? They got Tony Douglas, was it?
Yeah, I'm tipping Tony's not playing a lot of minutes.
I like Douglas as a backup, obviously, but
They should have paid Jarrett.
They should have paid Jack.
Yeah. He was phenomenal.
So, yeah, Stephen Curry, please, please, please stay healthy if you're going to have another year like that. The NBA needs it. We need good superstars in the league.
He better stay healthy, otherwise I'll be slapping myself.
Yeah, so we pretty much covered everything on Stephen Curry that I was going to say. I think the only other thing I would echo is that, you know, when I think back on last year, that was really, just really felt like, you know, the birth of a new superstar. And I just hope his health holds up and the ankles don't bend the wrong way and we get a few more seasons like this because, I mean, the kid's a stud, right? I mean,
beast.
We move now to number three.
I don't know what that was, but
just go with it, man. Just go with it.
Just going to pretend it didn't happen. I'm going for Nick Youngford will be happy.
Uh-oh.
Number three, I've gone for Chris Paul, who gives you the just outstanding numbers of 22 and 10, as my research suggests. Excellent point guard. The only knock I've got on Chris Paul is I just don't get high on watching Chris Paul play. I'm
not even mad at you this year.
Why?
Because you've come a long way, Vince.
No, he'd be lower if I had into players.
Look, I'm happy for you to have him in your top three. I'm not even mad at you.
I've got Rose and Rondo ahead of him. Don't worry about that.
Look, to come from number seven at the time.
I had him at six last year.
You did. So you've... Look, you...
You okay, mate? Do you want to have
I'm dying.
Just have a moment to yourself?
Or... One sec. Oh, you don't know how long I was holding that in for.
Oh. Yeah, white boy.
Woo. Woo. Okay, continue. As you were. Chris Paul.
What the hell was I saying before you nearly died? I can't even remember. Your coughing's just killing me. Yeah, no, I haven't.
You're just not high on him.
I'm not. I don't. I.
And you know what? After three times now of doing this list, doing these lists, I've come to grips with your...
What is it? Help me here. What is it that you see?
I will tell you when I unveil where I have Chris Paul.
Look, I honestly don't think he can get the Clippers to the promised land. I really don't. You're with me?
Yeah, look, I'm just thinking about it because I actually thought... I agree. I don't like that Clippers squad. And I thought if Chris Paul really does want his chip... Well, look, I talked about Deron Williams and his window closing on a title. I mean, I feel the same with Chris Paul.
Yep.
And I just sort of thought that, you know what, your best chance to get a title, I mean, let's not forget, he was a free agent. And I'm sure the LA scene and, you know, the LA management were all wooing him and basically giving him, you know, well, hey, you know, pick who you want and we'll go get him. I totally get that. Totally understand it. But if he wanted the best title, best chance at a title, why didn't he go sign with Indiana?
Or Houston.
Why didn't he sign with Indiana? Like, seriously, it just doesn't make sense.
I was going to say age, but there's, you know, Paul George is young and Hibbert's young. And
yes, I totally agree.
Because I was going to say, oh, you know, West is 32, 33, you've got Granger is 30, but then you go, oh, well, geez, they've got Paul George and Hibbert, so...
Like, I'm sure they...
It's not a bad trio.
I'm sure Chris Paul couldn't just sign them. You know, obviously they'd have to move some money, but if he's serious about winning a title...
Honestly, mate, if I was Chris Paul, I would have gone to Houston.
See, I wouldn't have.
Well, because I think...
Because I think there's a lot riding on Dwight Howard's back, and we all know how his back was last year.
Yeah, you think he faked it. So going by that, look, I think Dwight Howard is gapped to they're going to burn this season. I think he's going to do really well. I think if you bring in a guy, as much as I like leaning Houston, probably back him up. Well, you would back him up to Chris Paul, clearly. Well,
he'd probably have to go if you bring in Chris Paul, I think.
No.
With his salary, I think it doesn't work.
It's not that big.
Lin's salary?
Yeah, it's like 25 mil or something, isn't it?
Where else are you going to shave it, though?
You get rid of the sheet.
I don't know, man. Yeah, look, I know. I just think the window's closing on Chris Paul. I don't agree with the Reese. I just don't like the pieces around him.
There's a lot of guys there he's got to keep happy, right? But he also likes to be Mr. Fourth Quarter. So what's he going to do if, like, JJ Redick's on the floor and they need a three to win it, Redick's open, is Chris Paul going to hit him?
I'll tell you what, I watched Redick last year in Orlando and Milwaukee, and I wouldn't be passing to Redick either for the win.
Okay.
Chris Paul is a proven clutch player. He can hit that shot, and just what you said then, just what you said right then, is what separates him and D. Will from last season.
Yeah.
Because Paul has the coconuts to take that shot, to put himself in the position, and D. Will didn't last season.
I think D. Will has the coconuts to take big shots.
I think he does as well, but I don't think he showed it last year. I think Joe Johnson showed it more than D. Will last year. He had like four, like Jesus.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy for Joe Johnson.
Anyway, my pick at number three is your boy, Tony Parker. 20 points per game, 3 rebounds per game, 7 assists a steal in 36 minutes. There was times where I questioned if Tony Parker should have been in MVP considerations. I mean, obviously with the year LeBron had, that was out of the question, but I still thought he should have been in the conversation.
The guys are guns.
Love Tony Parker. I do still feel like he has trouble creating his own shot.
Oh, what?
Go watch NBA. Go watch the finals.
Dude, come on, man.
All right. Here's my biggest thing. Watching the finals, where did Tony Parker go?
Hey, at least he suited up when he hurt himself.
He sat a lot in that finals. Look, half of this is we still don't know what the injury... What was the injury?
Apparently it was a hamstring.
Apparently. So nothing's even confirmed. Well, a title was on the line. I mean, you've got to play through that.
He did play.
Barely.
Oh, you could see when he was running it wasn't the same quick Tony Parker.
You know what? I think Parker is great, like, you know, slashing and driving, but creating his own shot, I think we really saw that last year.
This guy's an absolute star, and his jump shot.
Totally agree.
His jump shot is fantastic.
Totally, and he can't love his teardrop.
I don't understand what you're watching.
No, I'm not saying he can't hit a jump shot.
And he can create his own. Don't worry about that.
I'm worried about it.
What are you watching? Seriously, you that's ludicrous.
It's not ludicrous.
It's crazy.
I watched the entire NBA finals.
So did I. The man injures himself and still plays.
He went MIA in that series from game four, title on the line. I mean, so did Ginobili, but at least Ginobili was on the court.
Mate, they don't even get to a game seven without Tony Parker.
Totally agree. They don't make the playoffs without Tony Parker. Totally agree with you, Vince. All I'm saying is the title's on the line.
Why isn't he number one? Why isn't he number one on your list?
Because I've got
that's what...
two spots bigger than him.
You're out of that bag. Nah, mate, you're too harsh. You are way too harsh on Parker.
I'm sorry. No, look, he's in my top three. He's my third.
Oh, look, I'm happy he's in your top three. To say he can't create his own shot is crazy.
I don't know. He can create his own shot, but not in, like, the sense of... I don't know. It's hard. Like, because I don't want to take away... Because, you know, obviously, he does create his own shot as in, you know, slashing to the basket, as in dragging his man out and doing that roll. But I find, like... he has trouble creating space for himself to get a shot off. Like, I don't know, I just really do. Like,
when I watch Tony Parker, I do not worry about him not having enough space or creating space.
Look, I just sort of think in a half-court set, I think he struggles a little bit creating his own. It's different when, you know, they're out and running because he's got that momentum behind him. It just feels to me like instinct takes over for him.
Yeah, I think we just have to agree to disagree. Okay. I don't see it.
That brings us to number two.
Half rabbit, half kangaroo. Rusty Westbrook.
Wow. I thought you said no injury guys.
He played a whole season. Let's not be silly. it's like a weak injury, mate. Come on. I'm talking long term.
He didn't play a whole season.
He did.
Didn't he go down before? Or was that in the series you went down?
No, that was in the playoffs, wasn't it?
Was it? Can't remember.
I think it was. It never been, that's why he's in here. explosive, dynamic point guard. This kid, if he was the number one option, he nearly is in Thunder just on the amount of shots he takes over KD. He'd probably score over 30 a game, I reckon, or close to 30 a game. Seven assists, I'd like to see the assists go up because that's just how I like my point guards. But, wow, this kid still very young too, I think, about 23, 24. When he's got, like, streaky shooter, but when he's going, forget about it. The kid, you cannot even stop him. Just
interesting.
You can only hope to contain him, as they say.
I'm interested to see how he bounces back from this injury.
I think he'll be fine. It was just like a medial sprain or something, wasn't it?
I just want to...
There was no tear or anything.
Look, the guy is an Iron Man. I mean, I don't think he's missed a game before that.
Really?
I'm pretty sure he hasn't missed a game since, like, college. Like, he's a legit Iron Man. Like, he's...
Yeah, that's AC
Green. I was surprised. But
it's AC Green-esque.
So I think he... I don't know. To have that... You know, to be that sort of player and to have an injury, you know, that sat him out, you know, the playoffs. I mean, yeah, I just want to see how he bounces back. I'm sure he'll be fine, but, you know, it's just one of those sort of little tests of character, I suppose. My pick for number two, Vince, I agree with you. Sort of.
Well,
I had two guys at number two.
Oh, you've done a BG.
I did do a BG. But I thought it was just because they're both interested. Interested. Wow. It is late. Wow. Because they were both injured, I should say.
Do that again.
No, I'm going to leave that in there. What the hell? I went with Russell Westbrook and Derrick Rose tied at number two. Now, hear me out. And I mean, you know, totally two different makeups with these guys. I feel like if Westbrook was in Chicago in Derrick Rose's position, Westbrook would probably be an MVP candidate as well.
Yeah, I can see that.
Do you think that's a fair comment?
Yeah, I can see that.
Some people have a real problem with that statement, but I honestly feel like that, you know, I've said it on the show before, Vince, it's Westbrook, you know, he needs his own team.
And we've said on the show before that, I don't think, BG doesn't agree with us, but we've said at some stage, he and KD are going to have problems.
Eventually, what will happen is OKC will say, well, KD is our guy, we're sticking with him, and they'll move Westbrook on for...
Because Westbrook is thinking the same way you are, mate. I need my own team.
I'm telling you, I just feel like that D Rose and Russell Westbrook, they are real, real similar. Real similar. I think that if Westbrook, you know, had his own team, then I really feel like that he would be, you know, not in the MVP conversation, but, you know, definitely a candidate. You know, like when Derek Rose comes back, I think that's always something now that's, you know, going to stick with him. You know, he was an MVP. Like, it's...
Yep.
You don't lose that. It's that X factor. Well, you know, he comes back. Well, Chicago's, you know, they're getting back a former MVP, no matter the injury.
Well, you might... you might lose it when you blow out a knee like...
That is true, but... I'm sticking to my point, goddammit.
Yeah, no, look...
So two real dynamic guys. I just don't think you can count any of those two guys out heading into next season, because even if Derrick Rose comes back, say, at half speed, he's still going to be dangerous. He's still going to change the whole dynamic to that team. The same can be said for OKC because, you know, they had Westbrook in that Houston series and it wouldn't have even been close. Houston wouldn't have even got a game on OKC. I'll tell you that right now.
I agree.
That moves us to the moneymaker. Number one!
Well, the best point guard, in my opinion, that is healthy right now, or this past season, that is the Frenchie himself, Tony Parker. 30 years old, still quick as lightning, still gets to the cup whenever he wants, hits that teardrop, impossible shots, gives guys nice easy layups every now and then. Over the years, has added a great J. I remember that 2007 finals when he got MVP. He was just knocking down everything. He's added a three ball. Spurs are his team these days. And, of course, is a three-time champ and finals MVP. One of my all-time favourites, Tony Parker. And I hate the Spurs, so it's a big thing for me. Number one. But I know one guy who will agree with me is Tom Reed from Believe the Hype. He's as high on Tony Parker as I am.
I'm not going to hate on it too much, but my biggest, just a little.
That's all right. Hate on it.
Look, my only problem with it is...
I'll walk out of this podcast right now.
Look, I'm just saying, my only problem with it is that I don't feel like Tony Parker is a culture changer. And to be number one on my list, I feel like you've kind of got to be a culture changer. And I don't feel like he's that guy. I don't think that he changes the whole dynamic of your team. You know, if you're starting a team from scratch and you've got Tony Parker comes in, I don't think he changes.
He's probably not to the extent that Tim Duncan is.
Here's a question for you. I mean, how much, I don't know what the best way to word it is, but how much do you think we see out of Tony Parker, you know, when Ginobili's done, when Tim Duncan's done?
Oh, I think you see a rise in the scoring.
I just don't see him as a franchise guy. I really don't. I think he's great for that system and what they're doing in San Antonio. And I think he's up there in, you know, MVP talks. You know, I said that last season. You know, he should be, you know, at least talked about, you know, because what he was doing in San Antonio was fantastic. But I also think he's a product of the system there. I'm not saying he's not a great player. I mean, he's in my top 10.
Look, I think he could play, honestly... I think Parker can play in any system. I think if Duncan wasn't there, Ginobili's not there. I think he's scoring in the mid-20s, 23 a game. And the culture-changing bit, probably not to the extent that Tim Duncan is.
Hmm.
But he goes a long way to help changing the culture.
All right. I mean, that's my biggest thing, though, Vince. When Duncan and those guys are gone...
If he's a leader.
In a sense, I think, yeah.
No, see, I think he's a very good leader. I mean, this guy's a competitor, man. His will to win is right up there. Don't you worry about that.
I'm not questioning his will to win. I mean, he's a proven champion. I don't need to question
that. These are all ingredients that helps you change the culture of a team or shows a young guy how to go about it.
Yeah.
They're all ingredients that go into it, mate.
Fair enough. I'll leave it at that. I made my mistake.
Gee, I wonder who your number one is.
My number one pick is Chris Paul.
Oh.
22 points per game, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal in 37 minutes. Yes, I did touch on that. I didn't really agree with him re-signing in LA. I just don't think that team around him is going to get it done. But what I do like about Chris Paul, what does separate him, for me anyway, you know, to the other point guards on my list, is that Chris Paul can be the man or he can be the facilitator. He can be the guy that takes the game-winning shot. He can be the guy asked to take the scoring load on any given night. Or he can be the guy who will get everyone else involved.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to argue with your pick.
He's a leader. He's a defender.
Is he a culture changer?
Sure. He is a culture changer.
More than Tony Parker?
Most definite.
I don't know how you can say that.
Well, how can I say that? Because we're talking about the Clippers in the playoffs. That's how I can say that. You take Chris Paul off that team, they don't make the playoffs.
Okay. When they were a lottery team, put Chris Paul on the point guard, they a playoff team? Point is, you can't make strawberry jam out of shit unless you want strawberry jam.
But they were a lottery team before he joined it. I mean, they got Blake Griffin, but they still didn't make the playoffs that first year with Blake.
That's because he did his knee and was out.
That second year before they had Chris Paul.
He still missed half a season.
No, he didn't.
Didn't he? Did he play the whole season?
He won the dunk comp. It was Blake mania. We're all talking about Blake's dunks. My point is, he came into LA. He went to the ugly sister in LA, and they were a contender.
Not much of a contender, mate. They only made the second round or first round.
Before last year, they had the Grizzlies' number.
That was more the Grizzlies.
No, I don't think it was. There's a reason why, you know, there was a big uproar when LA didn't get Chris Paul.
Not from my end.
Well, go ask all your Laker minions over at Laker Nation.
I know a couple of Laker fans that aren't that high on Chris Paul.
Well, I'm high on the kid. I like him. I do think his window is closing. I think maybe, you know, if he has a down year, it could really hurt him as far as ranking on my list. But right now, I just hands down, I think Chris Paul is the best point guard in the league still.
I don't see how you can say he's more of a culture changer than Tony Parker.
Because he is. Because if you'd put Tony Parker...
That's no answer.
I'm about to give it to you.
I'll just shut up shop.
You peanut.
Jeez, because he is. Okay.
He didn't let me finish. Jump in with you. Quick whips. Because I think if you were to add Tony Parker, he would not have the same... Before Chris Paul signed with the Clippers, you bring in Tony Parker instead of Chris Paul. I don't think the dynamic of the city and how the Clippers are looked at changes as much.
Is this the Tony Parker that's already won a couple of titles and is an MVP of the final series? Is that the Tony Parker you're bringing in?
Yeah, the one in a Spurs system with Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili. I mean, look at the pieces around him, Vince.
Don't worry about the pieces.
I'm not taking away anything from Tony Parker.
I know you're not. I'm just saying.
I think you so undervalue Chris Paul, and you just can't see it.
Hang on. Get your knickers in a twist.
They're twisted, buddy.
No, they're making you cough. No, I'm just saying, Tony Parker at the point with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and wherever, Jamal Crawford, I just think he's, the way he goes about it, he just knows how to win. Like, he knows how to go deep in the playoffs. He knows what it takes.
I just don't think that Tony Parker has that switch where he can be the facilitator or the scorer.
But he's gone... The whole Spurs system is different now to what it was when they last won the title of the Nova 7. So he's
totally agree.
He can play in different systems.
I didn't say he couldn't.
But you were saying, like...
But Tony Parker's game is much the same.
Probably the only thing Chris Paul does...
Tony Parker didn't have to change his game, Vince. Tim Duncan had to change his game. Manu Ginobili had to change his game.
Because they're old.
Look at the year Duncan had last year.
I've had to change my game because I'm old. That's why. I'm the same age as Tim Duncan. Just with better footwork.
Oh, well, I'm not getting into that one. That's a list for another day.
It's too late, man. We're delirious.
Well, that's our list. That's our top 10. Where did you have your favourite point guards? We want to know. Let us know. You can let us know on the Facebook page or Caps Courtside. We are eager, listening, and ready to debate. Before we go, Vince, did you have anyone that maybe made the honour roll that didn't quite crack your top 10 that you thought?
Look, I really, really would have loved to have had Dom Wall in there. I'm a fan, but he was probably the only one. Ty Lawson, you know, it's not that I didn't think of Ty Lawson. I'm not high on him as what you are.
Yep.
I mean, I love Damian Lillard.
Like I said, I had Lillard on my list, but I just... for me, like, if I had to go, like, 11, I would have had Drew Holiday, who's my 11th. 17 points per game, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal in 37 minutes. I mean, can't argue those numbers. I was interested to see, though, you know, with Jennings moving, you know, to Detroit now and, you know, appears to have a better squad around him. I was interested to see what his numbers were actually out in Milwaukee. And I've got to admit, they weren't as good as I thought.
No, it's funny. I looked when he was traded.
Yeah.
And the most disappointing thing for me, and I know he said he had to take a lot of shots and that, and he did, was the shooting percentage was abysmal.
13 points per game.
Yeah.
13 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. In his favour, he was the only point guard to average more than 1 steal a game. He averaged a little bit over 2. In 33 minutes. So, I'm sure those numbers might have jumped, you know, especially maybe the scoring during the playoffs. But I thought he'd be averaging somewhere around 17 to 18 points per game in Milwaukee. And maybe it was the whole Montella thing, taking shots away. But even then, the assists are still only 4. So, you know, we talk about Detroit making the playoffs. I mean, he's going to have to make some major... major jumps in his game.
Yeah, look, I think a change of scenery is going to do this kid wonders. Clearly got all the talent in the world that he needs to succeed. Just, it's that whole thing, you know, is it mental? Is it, you know, did he just not play that well at Milwaukee because he wanted to get out? You know, maybe he was just feeling flat or, you know, just not motivated to succeed or just get me the hell out of here.
Exactly.
So, you know, you can only... You can be 5% off and it affects you a lot.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot. Especially, you know, between the ears, mate, it's... Once you get affected between the ears, it can take a lot off your game.
I will just stress one last time, you know, like, we have a great deal of fun doing the lists. But it really does come down, I think, to the end of the day, you know, how you view players and how you think each position should be played on the court. My view of a point guard is totally different to yours, Vince. Absolutely. Do you know what I mean? That's why we banter so much about when we do these lists.
Yep.
So I don't want to see any hate mail. Let's deal with it.
Yeah, look, it's like you said, it's different styles, it's different opinions and everything, you know. I love them. I love doing these lists. isn't it funny, like, you know, there's no more Steve Nash's in this list and, wow.
He hurt me last year.
You
heard me last year. I was hoping to crack him in at 10, but just
doesn't play for your team.
You can catch all the Courtside Madness on the website www.crtsde.com. Of course, the Courtside Podcast available on iTunes and Podomatic. Search the Courtside Podcast. We're also available on Odman Media, so check us out down there. Twitter and Instagram at CRTSDE. Where else are we? That's it, I think. Whew, a lot of social media.
Yeah, I'm not on Instagram.
I'm on there.
What's the point of Instagram, though? Take a photo with your phone, post it.
See, I'm more Instagram than I am Twitter, though. You're the Twitter man between us.
I love Twitter. Twitter
love
is
it. I'm just, yes. I'm over it.
I'm over Chris Paul.
Over you.
Here it comes.
Ball.